It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions, he has answers. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
This is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin, broadcasting from Studio 1E in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's first child's bedroom, east side of the house. Thanks for joining me today. I developed PEDcast to help parents navigate a myriad of parenting topics, ranging from the crib to the country club. In these PEDcasts, I express general observations and opinions that I've developed over a generation of pediatric practice and parenting. I am not providing medical judgments or advice. Now, as always, by listening to my PEDcast, you are agreeing to the terms and conditions listed on my website, docsmo.com. Let's talk kids with today's topic. One of the most frequently asked questions I get in the newborn nursery is, when can I take my newborn to church? When can I take my newborn to the mall? And when can I have my friends over? Well, you'll find varying opinions on this subject, and the truth is there is no science behind any of this. I don't believe there is a right answer to that question. Different cultures have developed different norms. For instance, in traditional Greek society, I'm told that babies are isolated for the first 60 days of life. And in traditional Japanese culture, the isolation period is 1 year. Now, to my knowledge, the Academy of Pediatrics does not have a policy regarding this subject. So I thought today we'd take a little time to explore the issue of newborns venturing into public places. So let's define what we're talking about. Let's make a distinction between simply going outside versus going into a public place and letting people hold and touch your infant. First, going outside. Now, there are many medical authorities who think that most children who grow up in the Western world are vitamin D deficient, and studies do seem to bear this out. Vitamin D levels, when measured, are low. Remember, vitamin D is produced in your skin in response to sunlight. Now, infants, according to many authorities, need a minimum of 30 minutes a day of shaded sunlight, not direct sunlight, but shaded sunlight from light that does not come through glass. You can't put your baby in front of the window or take them out in the car where the light is going through glass and expect it to have the same effect. It just simply doesn't happen that way. So going outside is good for babies. But going into public places, whoa, cowgirl, that's a whole different rodeo. Touch, especially by children, yuck, nasty. Just watch the fingers of a child under 5 years of age and see where they go, and you will quickly see why you don't want them touching your newborn. You don't want their viruses going viral in your newborn. Remember the swine flu? Despite the public health officials' vigorous attempts to isolate that virus into certain locations, it had spread to every continent on Earth within a month. Now, that's really incredible. Going outside for sunlight, shady sunlight in very young babies, is good for baby and mom. But having your neighbors and their friends hold and touch your newborn, I just think that's foolish. So how does an infant defend itself from germs? What's the big deal about a fever in a young infant? Well, it actually is a very big deal. And to answer that question, we're going to take a detour down what I call science lane. Now, there are a number of mechanisms that babies use to fend off viruses and bacteria that they're invaded by. Fever is one of the most primitive. Let's make the defense happen faster. If you warm up the body, you make chemical reactions and immune reactions happen much faster. Try making tea with cold water and then try it with hot water, and you will see exactly what I'm talking about. Now, babies also have targeted proteins called antibodies, which stick to the germs and allow them to be eaten by cells called phagocytes. Now, in the first few months of life, about 4 to 6 months of life, babies' antibodies are mostly gotten from you-know-who, good old mom, through the placenta. They're not very good at making their own antibodies, and they can't turn on a response real quickly to new germs. They also have cells that are called killer cells, or this directs what's called cell-mediated immunity. And these killer cells direct the whole immune system when their baby is attacked by germs. Now, one of the most important things for keeping germs on the outside are good barriers, healthy barriers, dry, unbroken skin, a dry cord, healthy lungs, gut, and urinary tract. Now, remember, there's mucus, gastric secretions, and urine flowing through us all the time. And this, if this flow is unobstructed and smooth, if germs do manage to get into a place where they don't belong, they're quickly washed out. But if you don't have good barriers, don't have good urine flow or good mucus flow, germs love that environment. So now you've completed Immunology 101 for babies. And you have some understanding of how a baby defends itself from serious infections. And hopefully you can begin to see why infants under 3 months of age are so susceptible to serious infections. So let's go through them. First of all, they've had almost no immunizations, and they're naive to most germs. They've also had no experience with germs, so they have no immune memory. And for some reason, it's very difficult for particularly young infants under a month to even generate a fever. So they can't speed up this whole process. They also can't tell their parents how sick they are. They have very poor communication skills. And finally, they frequently have compromised barriers, such as a damp cord or poor bladder emptying. They can easily be overwhelmed by germs. So here's the big take-home point. It is very difficult for pediatricians to tell which fussy, febrile infant has a serious life-threatening infection and which have a benign, self-limited illness not needing treatment. So current practice is for most babies under 3 months of age with a fever to be admitted to the hospital for a full septic workup. Now, a full septic workup is a spinal tap, blood cultures, urine catheterizations, and IV antibiotics. This is an unpleasant day for you and your baby, and usually means at least 2 days in the hospital, probably about $20,000 of your insurance company's money. Now, for those babies with serious infections, this is life-saving. But most of the time, this happens because of benign viral illness. So, do you see where I'm going with all this? You can sort of see why going in public and having a lot of people touching your baby is probably not such a great idea. When you own the blog, you get to put out your opinions. So here are my opinions regarding the subject of when to take a newborn out in public, what I call going public. Now, I think that you should get outside with your baby, weather permitting, as soon as you get home. Babies do well in hot weather and in cold weather. They're very good at controlling their body temperature once they leave the hospital. If you don't know much about that subject, I refer you to my podcast, Infant Temperature Control, on the subject, and you're going to learn a lot about how babies control their temperature. But touch from non-family members should be deferred as long as possible. I recommend at least 3 months. You thought pregnancy and delivery were stressful? Try having an infant under 3 months of age with a fever, likely in the hospital for 2 days, not to mention a hospital bill of $15,000 to $20,000. That's stress. And when your friends go for the touch, just say, no, 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 I'm blaming Doc Smough. So let's sum up what we've learned today. Going outside with a newborn is a good thing. Weather does not make us sick. And natural sunlight in small quantities is really healthy for babies and essential, actually. But going in public where people touch your infant or where you will be touching germy surfaces, I think should not occur until infants are older than 90 days. Remember those guidelines. Infants are relatively immunodeficient compared to older children because their immune systems are immature and they are unimmunized. Overwhelming infections are much more common in infants under 90 days of age, under 3 months of age, than older infants or children. And if possible, only family members should hold and care for your infant in the first 3 months of life. Newborns have enough to deal with. They shouldn't need to start out life sick. Thanks for listening today. Hopefully you found this useful and hopefully you learned something new. Leave comments on my blog, and if I find them interesting or useful, I will post them. If you feel strongly about a topic, let me know how you feel. So until my next podcast, this is Doc Smough wishing you and your new sprout healthy trips out. I want to thank the following people for their contributions to this podcast: Seth Jaffe for his creative editing, Sarah Smolin for her digital editing and photography, Wendy Smolin for her legal counsel, Ann Gesner for her content editing, and Ben Smolin, Jerome Moof, and Robert Beezer for producing this phenomenally beautiful music that you're listening to. Thanks, guys.